Is there anybody here that would like to meet God this morning? Is there anybody here that would like to talk to God this morning? Is there anybody here that feels like you could use a little one-on-one time with God this morning? Take a look at this, because you're in the right place. I'm here to tell you that if you ask the question, God, will you help me? If you mean that question, the answer is absolutely yes. Amen. Your Bible, my Bible, from start to finish, from beginning to end, has a resounding yes to that question. From literally, from beginning to end, you can look to Genesis. And if creating us isn't enough to show that God wants to have a loving, personal relationship with us, all you have to do is look to Adam and Eve after they sin in the garden. And God goes and pursues them to find them. And he shows them his love in discipline. He disciplines them in love. But also sees to it that they don't have to instantly be damned. And says, while the reality of what you've done will bring consequences, I love you. I come to find you. And now ask for forgiveness. And I'll set you out to be an example. Look at Moses. You know his story, most of you. He's used by God. God comes and gets him and says, I want you to deliver my people. And in the midst of everything that he does, they begin to wander. And the people start to get upset and say, oh, we ought to go back to Egypt. At least there we weren't hungry and starving. And God comes to the people and literally delivers bread from heaven. Amen. Very practical, this relationship God wants to have with you. Gideon, one of my favorites, we've named a son after him. In the midst of doubt, perhaps you know what it is to doubt. To be in the midst of doubt, God comes with miraculous signs to say, Gideon, I want you to know that I love you and that I have chosen you. And even though you ought not doubt, I'll come to you anyway and show you with miraculous signs that I am who I say I am and that you can trust me. The disciples, Jesus comes to them directly. Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. I will come and find you and draw you in and invite you to an eternity-changing opportunity. All you've got to do is look at a fellow named Cornelius. a Gentile, somebody that at the time they felt was not allowed to receive the grace of God. God sends Peter to him for the express purpose of making sure that everybody knows that God's love is for everybody, and none of us are outside the bounds of God's offer for grace and for mercy. There's an Ethiopian eunuch who is literally just caught up in confusion. God loved him enough to send Philip to say, I love you enough that I'll come to you when you're confused for the express purpose of simply helping you to get it. Because when you get it, you'll understand how much I love you. There were demon-possessed people that Jesus went to so that you would know that there is nothing too great to be overcome with the love that will come out of a relationship and the power that comes out of knowing the one true Christ. We know a fellow named Paul who wrote half of the New Testament. But he started off as Saul, and God went to him. Jesus went to him and jerked him right up out of a walk down the road, literally stopped him in his tracks to let you know that if need be, he may do something as radical as blind you for the purpose of getting your attention. That nobody is too far from the reach of God's love and grace. How about a fellow named Ananias? We did a couple of Sunday services on Ananias. Here's a fellow who God went to on purpose and said, I'm calling you out to give you an assignment that will build your character and develop a bravery and a faith that most wouldn't have, because I want you to go for me to this Saul fellow, and I want you to tell him that I love him, and I want you to confirm for him. Ananias was pursued by God for the purpose of giving him an assignment that would blow most people away. But Ananias obeyed, and he did it. And today, we know him as a relatively obscure giant of the faith. How about the book of Revelation? Some of you know we're going to go there starting on Easter Sunday. We're going to preach through the entire book of Revelation. The book of Revelation speaks to the grand finale where Christ will come back. He will come back to say, enough is enough. I will rescue you out of this. And it's time to put an end to things. If you want to know if God will help you, if you really mean it, the answer, as testified throughout all of the Bible, is absolutely yes. And if you're within the hearing of my voice, that same promise is now coming to you. There's a reason why you're here. There's a reason why you can hear this. There's a reason why you're at this particular point in your life on a Sunday morning. It's because Jesus loves you. And he's pursuing you with love and truth. He wants you and everybody else to know it. In our Bible, Luke chapter 15, Jesus gives three specific examples that come in the form of parables that tell us how much God loves it when we come home to him, when we have this healthy relationship. He tells us in the form of the parable of the lost sheep. If you have 100 sheep, he says, and one goes astray, would you not go and seek after the one lost? And when you found them and the relationship was restored, would you not call all of your friends and throw a party of parties because you so love them that you don't want even one to be lost? Same thing again in the coins. There are 10 coins and a woman loses one, sweeps out her whole house. And here again, Jesus tells us how she's so ecstatic when she finds it. And tells us how this is God's same perspective. That when we are out of relationship with him, he's saddened. And he's pursuing us. You say, well, where is he pursuing me? I would say to you, if you would open up your heart. And if you would listen with a spiritual ear, you would hear his voice all around you. You would feel his hand on you. You would know in a place where nobody else knows that God has been asking you to lay down the self of your life and to come to him. You see, we ask the question, will you help me? Problem is, we're not always really sure we want to ask that question. He tells us in Luke 15, in what is probably Jesus' most famous parable, the parable of the lost son, how a father literally is brokenhearted at the loss of his son. See, one of the things that's so powerful about that particular passage is it shows that while the father loves and pursues the son and wants more than anything to celebrate the reunion in the relationship, he respects the son's desires to leave. And God respects you and me. And if you don't really want that relationship, he's not going to force it down your throat. He's not going to make any of us love him. He's not going to make any of us come to him all the time. He says, when you do, I rejoice. I literally throw parties up here in heaven, all the angels. He says, when one lost comes back, the party up here in heaven is unbelievable. We get more excited about the one that came back home than all the 99 that never left. The word of the Bible, the message of Christianity, the message of Christ is that he loves you, that he pursues you. He left heaven and came down here intentionally to open up the door to eternity through the torture and the pain that he endured on the cross. If you go out that door at the end of the service, you look and we put these little triangle wedges under the door that hold it open. Every time you see one of those little wedges from now on, I'd like you to think of Jesus on the cross. Because what that little wedge does to let you go out into the common area, Jesus did on the cross to let you come into eternity in heaven. Problem is, a lot of us kick the little wedge out from the door because we don't really want to go there. If you ask the question, Jesus, will you help me? His answer is always yes. If you don't believe that, I really can't do much to help you. This is one of those foundational starting points where you've got to know that Jesus is Lord. He is who he says he is. And the truth of the Bible is in fact that it's the truth. And when you push that away, depending on your circumstances, you may be bottoming out or you may be topping off, but you're living bouncing around between being deceived, being delusional, being desperate, in despair. But the reality is without that acceptance of the truth of loving Christ and knowing that he loves you, every minute of every day you're dying. You're dying. And I know you look at me and you say, Pastor Jeff, I don't need to come to church to know that. They taught me that in biology. I'm talking about a different kind of death. I want to read to you a very real letter that was written, a letter to God. I want you to hear this. This is a real letter to God from somebody who didn't get this. Here it is. Dear God, I'm writing this letter to you because I don't have a clue. Can you help me? I'm sitting here simply trying to figure out what my life's all about. Can you tell me? I never wanted to be this person that you see. Can you tell me who I am? I always wanted to die, but you kept me alive. Can you tell me who I am? I lie awake conducting this symphony that you've gifted to me. But I can't ever sleep. Now don't get mad, but I get weak inside. And I start to fall apart because I feel nothing. I never wanted to be some kind of comic relief. Please, show me who I am. I've been tortured and scorned since the day that I was born. But I don't know who I am. Yet, I thank you, God, for everything. Sorry I'm so frightened about all of it. I wish I could give you more. But all the lights are shining down on me and I feel so violated by it all. I never wanted to be the person that you see. But again, thank you. Oh God, please tell me now. Are you disappointed or are you proud? Haven't I done everything? Everything? I'm so sorry I'm so weak and that I turned into a freak. But I don't know anything. Anything. I've lost all self-esteem, my baby, and everything. And I feel nothing. Nothing. Oh God, please tell me now. Oh God, please tell me now. Because I feel nothing. Dear God, I'm writing this letter to you because I'm coming unglued. Please help me. I can tell you that that letter represents the truth of an awful lot of hearts that wouldn't be as graphic, probably wouldn't be as transparent, and probably wouldn't be as honest. But I can tell you, as one who had the world by the tail, that I know the hollowness of what was written in this. And the reality is, if you don't have a personal, vibrant, healthy relationship with Jesus Christ, so do you. I know that. You don't have to admit it to me. You don't have to admit it to anybody. But God knows it, and He wants you to be relieved of that. I want you to hear that love letter to God, that desperate, crying out letter to God, now from the person who wrote it. You don't get a lot of Courtney Love in church anymore. It's a letter from Courtney Love to a God, small g. And I'm here to tell you that if she would write that to the God, capital G, everything could turn around. I want you to watch her sing her letter to God. And I want you to see the anguish on her face.
I'm writing this letter to you, 'cause I don't have a clue. Can you help me? Sitting here, simply trying to figure out what my life's all about. Can you tell me? I never wanted to be the person you see. Won't you tell me who I am? I always wanted to die, but you kept me alive. Please tell me who I am. I lie awake, conducting the symphony that you have gifted to me, but I don't ever sleep. Don't get mad, 'cause I get weak inside, and I start to fall apart, 'cause I feel nothing. I never wanted to be some kind of comic relief. Please show me who I am. I've been tortured and scorned. I don't know who I am. And I thank you, man, for me.
If you watch closely, you would have seen her. The last minute, what she says is, help me be. Just help me be, God. If you want that, God is saying, yes. Not only yes, but I am pursuing you so that you don't have to live in this place. God tells us that we were created to be in relationship with Him. His goal is to see to it that we don't ever have to live in that place. And again, I want to point out that you don't have to be a renowned drug addict whose husband has committed suicide and whose life has been spread all over the tabloids to embrace the truth of what she's written. You don't even need to be, quote, down and out. You can be up and out and have the exact same emotions running through the cold, still, non-beating heart that Jesus says, give it to me and I will bring it to life. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, which is our core verse for this week as we go through our next session of experiencing God, it also happens to be the foundation of the mission of our church, The Bridge. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and Mark would add, with all your strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment. If we will truly love God, the doors of heaven, beginning here on earth, will fling wide open to us. Amen. But anything less, and we'll bounce around like a pinball between being deceived, delusional, desperate, and dying. God has made it very, very clear through sacrificing His Son that He loves you. Loves you with a love unlike any other love that could ever be. The question for us is not, God, will you help me? The real question is, God, do I really want your help? Do I really want to be helped or would I rather be left alone? You see, God is not some on-call superhero that comes in and out of our lives when we decide that things have got a little hectic. He won't do that. He says, I will not be some kind of vending machine for you, where you push buttons and get what you want. He said, I will adopt you and I will call you my own. As we saw last week and the week before, it's the oneness with Christ. It's everything. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. It's only in that oneness that you can know true unity with me. But when you do, you're not going to believe how good life gets. Now, circumstances will still be rough. Storms will still come. The economy still going in the crapper. You know, your boss may still be a jerk. Your family environment may be going through some adjustments. Life is not going to suddenly become easy. But if you will come to a oneness with me, and if you will truly surrender your life to me, live for me, I will carry you through. And we'll go through things that you didn't think you could get through. I'll lift you above things that you didn't think you could get over. And sometimes I might shock you and we might just plow. We might go deep and we might just plow through something that you thought was impossible. But the promise is this. If you will love me with all of who you are, I will give you an existence that will end up forever in heaven. And the time between now and when you go into heaven will be better than anything that you could do on your own. Amen. Anything. So the question of will you help me? The letter that says, will you help me? God says, you better believe I will. Just please mean it when you ask. Because you're not going to like the reality that comes if you're playing games with me. He says, if you give me all of your heart and know this, I accept no competition for number one slot in your heart. You can't tell me with your lips something that your life does not back up and expect this to work. You love me with all of your heart and you put me first. And everything changes. just like that. Play games with me, pussyfoot around, get religious. Think you're tricking me or anybody else. And them's mean streets out there. Give me your heart. Know that I love you. And everything is going to be awesome. I want you to see a letter that God would write back to you. That would say, I love you. It doesn't have to be that other way. Give me your heart. Take a look at this.
I was there for you from the very beginning. Even before you were born, I had a plan for you. For you. You're no accident. My hands made the sunrise, control the tides, and I designed you. What I make is good. Think back. There have been times you've heard my voice, seen my hand move. I've been there all along. Believe it or not, I know how you feel. The questions in your heart, the insecurities. Sure, you failed. Made some bad choices. But you've had some shining moments too. And guess what? I still love you. I don't care what you've done, where you come from, what you look like. I love you. Hear my voice. Let that soak in. I love you just because I do. It's who I am. No matter what you do or how hard you try, I couldn't love you more than I do right now. If you could count how many times a day I think of you, it would outnumber the stars, the grains of sand on the beach. Just think about it. If I, the creator of all things, love you this much, you must be very valuable. All I ask in return is your love. You see, if you truly love me with all that you are, everything else will fall into place. When tomorrow comes, and the next day, and the next for all eternity, I'll still be right here, just like I am right now, loving you. I love you.
That is the message of your Bible. That is the message of the one true risen Lord. If you hear nothing else ever at the bridge, hear God now tell you, I love you. this relationship that you have or don't have with God. It's everything. You know, we live in a time where we like to simplify things and codify them and, you know, 10 easy steps to a great marriage and, you know, top 10 this and 5 steps to prosperity. Listen, here it is. This is the whole thing right here. Jesus loves you and he wants you to love him back with your whole heart.
Amen.
That's the whole thing. You don't need to be a theologian. You don't have to go to seminary. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then live it, because lips lie. Lives tell the truth.
Amen.
Listen to what Jesus says. Because see, at the end of the day, the rubber still hits the road. Each and every one of us, we've got to come to this place where we decide. Do I want to think of God as my on-call superhero? Where when I hit crisis, I give him a buzz, go to the bat phone? Or am I going to live in an intimate, personal, vibrant, practical relationship with him? And he says this, you got a decision to make, each and every one of us. In Matthew 16, starting at verse 24 and just going through verse 26, Jesus says this, if anyone, I could care less about your background. I don't care if your dad's a preacher, if you're second cousin of the Pope. Anyone, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. Now here's the big one, and this is a question that was posed to me this week at a prayer, pastor's prayer retreat. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If you don't say yes to this invitation to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, then you are choosing to hold on to something else. And Jesus says it will cost you your soul. Not my words. Not a crazy Baptist preacher. That's Jesus, the Christ of Christianity. I had somebody say while we were at this retreat that losing your soul is like losing your credit card. And I got to tell you, I look just like Paul Woodall's looking at me right now. I said, what? And he said, this is how it works. If you think back to when you've ever lost your credit card, you don't know you lost your credit card. You use it. It's fine. Everything's good. You put it back in your wallet or your purse, or so you think. And you go about life like everything's normal, hunky-dory, no sweat, no problems. You've got this false sense of assurance that you have something in your wallet that in reality you don't have. But you're okay with that because ignorance is bliss, and what we don't know doesn't hurt us. Until you come to the point when you need it. And then you go to reach for it. And you find out it's not there. Oh no. There's a point of panic. And then a stress comes over you. And I know what some of us might think. Well, okay, worst comes to worst. You call and you put an end to it. And they issue you a new one. That's where the analogy breaks down, because you only get one soul. And when it comes time to when you need it, it better be there, because there won't be any do-overs. It won't be any 1-800 new soul for you to call. I want to close with this. And this too came out of my prayer retreat. I want to read to you out of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, A passage that I've read literally hundreds of times, and never once did I encounter it the way that I did at this prayer retreat, in the way that I pray that you will encounter it. Let me give you a little context. John the Baptist is telling people that Jesus is coming. And where I'm going to pick up at verse 29, basically I'm going to skim through. But John the Baptist recognizes Jesus. And see, John's got his own little set of flock and disciples that are following him. And John says this in verse 29. John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Then John gave this testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." Amen. Verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples, two of John the Baptist's own disciples. The next day, John the Baptist was there again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing by, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard John say this, they followed Jesus. Looking over his shoulder, Jesus saw them following him and asked this question, and I ask this question of you. What do you want? That's everything. That's everything. Let me read it to you again. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Looking over his shoulder, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want? What do you want? What do you want?" You see, depending on your inflection, that question can come across in a number of ways. I won't read it from the text, but I'll tell you how this plays out. They say to Jesus, "Where are you going?" And he says, "Come, follow me and I'll show you." He again invites them, "Come." He's pursuing a personal, vibrant relationship. And you know what they did? This is Andrew, son of Peter, and some think the other may have been John. They went with him, and they hung out with him for the day. If we want to get religious, there's nothing in it. The Pharisees were all around Jesus, and they had nothing happening in their heart. If you want a relationship, and sometimes a relationship is best nurtured by just hanging out, just getting real, just being genuine, everything changes, because that's what real Christianity is all about. It's about being in a personal, vibrant relationship with the one true risen Lord. So at the end of the day, having the instructions from Matthew 22:37, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that's the directive. If you want to ask for help, then I ask you to ask yourself, do you really want to be loved by God, or would you rather be left alone? If you really want to be in a love relationship with him, which opens up heaven beginning right now to you, then you're going to have to, in your own heart of hearts, not to me or anybody else, you're going to have to answer this question that Jesus asks you and asks me. in your own one-on-one time, and I would encourage you, get alone with Jesus. Take a quiet walk. Develop some quiet time with him. And if you say to me, well, I have a scheduling problem. You don't have a scheduling problem. You have a love problem. Because what you prioritize, you do. What means the most to you gets done. If your love relationship means the most, you'll make the time. If it gets crowded out, the other things are more important. That's that black and white part of me that's just real deal. But at some point, each one of us need to come to grips with the fact that we've got to answer that question. And I want you to think about this. We, at this retreat, we took a half hour, 45 minutes, we went walking out in the woods. And the instructor that led us said, just go and pray and get quiet with the Lord. And wait until you see him look over his shoulder and recognize that you're there. And then answer him when he asks, what do you want? Answer that question right from the core of your heart. And I promise you paradise here on earth. Your eternal life begins right now. Answer that question wrong, and I don't care how good you think you've got it. You'll be writing letters like Courtney Love to God. If you say, no way, not me, I promise you, you'll remember it here. On your deathbed, you will. It's just a question of when, not if. Because outside of a personal relationship with the one true God, every person will come to that place. It's just a question of when. But did you hear him in that last video? I was there before you were born. I have a plan for you. I love you. Leave here today hearing the God of creation say, psst, I love you. It doesn't have to be that way. Come on, come home. Embrace this relationship. Let's get real. Let's get personal. I want you to live above the fray and know what it is to be a child of God. Let's do this. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you so much for the truth that is so clearly grounded in love. Lord, I thank you that you've not given us some watered down, gray hodgepodge of writings that would not make it so clear to us that you do love us, that you have loved us, you love us, and you will love us, and that you are constantly beckoning us to come to you, that you are pursuing us with love and truth, that you on the cross, like a wedge under the door, have opened up eternal life to us. And you stand at the door, as the door, inviting us in, saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Won't you come? Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here today that does not know, that they know, that they know, that they have a reservation with you in heaven, that they'll come and that we can talk, because you love them too, and you don't want anyone to perish. Father, I thank you for the ways that you show us you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.